The gospel says, I want to stick with kind of these words tonight. He says, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. Now, maybe some of you remember last week at Life Teen, we had the mission. Father Brendan was here. I read these words. I was like, holy smokes, that was his theme. Like, that's exactly what he talked about. His theme was a light that shines in dark places. So maybe you just kind of remember a few things from what Father Brendan was talking about, of the things we speak in our own heads. But what are the words Jesus speaks to us, right? I was really touched the second night. He talked about our timeline, looking over our life, our timeline. And when we do that, what we tend to do when we look at that is we always see, or the things that come up anyway, are like the hurts, the sufferings, the hard things of my life. And they kind of stick in our heads. But then he invited us that night and said, look at your timeline with Jesus. Let Jesus look upon it. What does he see? Because Jesus sees our timeline very different than we do often. As he looks at our timeline with his gaze of love, the love of God, at every moment, all these difficult moments even, like his love was there. And that love begins to heal those places. And that love, what it does is it brings out the goodness of our life. That's what Jesus sees. Then the last night we talked about voices. Voices we hear, darkness and voices of light. And we just kind of threw it out there in popcorn. What are those voices of darkness? And these are the things we came up with. He said, a voice of darkness are fear, doubt, shame, guilt, revenge, discouragement, among others. You know that, right? Yeah, we know these voices. He said, what about the other voices? What's the voice of God, the voice of light, the voice of the Holy Spirit sound like? He said he could even be saying the same words, but it's a different tone to it. God's voice is always a voice of encouragement. It's a voice that strengthens and gives confidence, speaks truth. He said it's like a coach, like he used in those videos, like that coach that's leading us forward, even when that next step takes absolutely everything we got, that voice speaking. We ended the whole thing by really, he wanted us to listen to that voice, to really hear it. And above all, the place where we hear the voice in the Gospels is at the baptism of Jesus, where we literally hear the voice of the Father. And he said, imagine yourself with Jesus hearing those words spoken over you tonight. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. In you I am well pleased. And just to receive the blessing of that voice. I want you to take these voices tonight and think about when Jesus began to preach in our gospel. He went out and started speaking this voice over that land. Like what that was like. You are reading, I read, it says, people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. Why? Why does it say that? So you have to understand, the place where Jesus started preaching, this land up way up in the north of the Holy Land, this was a land that had basically been completely overrun and had experienced complete and total genocide. Racial genocide, religious genocide, they'd burned the cities, taken everything away when the Assyrians came and just leveled the whole thing. You know how that sticks to a land, right? We have certain ways we even experience that in our own country. We'll get to that. But Jesus says he began to preach there and he spoke this voice of God over that place, the good news, and he healed every disease and illness as he cast out the demons and the evil from that land. Just imagine the healing that was coming over the people who heard it and really over that land. That's what was going on. Now I want you to bring that voice, that word of God to us today here, because Jesus speaks now. Imagine that healing being spoken over this land today. Just think for a moment of all the ways of darkness and the ways that this land has been overshadowed by death. If you went down to the museum down there of, I'm forgetting the name of it now. I wrote it down. Traverse des Sioux, the museum there. You'd read how right here there was a massacre of Native Americans and of American soldiers both. Right here on this land. If you study the history of our nation, you know really well all of the death that's been experienced, the Civil War. You know so many different things. How many times we still talk about slavery at the very foundations of this country, still hanging like a shadow over us. Think of all the different things, the injustices of this land. Today, specifically, I think my mind goes because it would have been today the 50th anniversary of Roe versus Wade today. 65 million abortions that happened over the last 50 years in this country. And just think of how that spiritual weight would hang over this land. Our gospel says today, in that land, a light has arisen. A light has arisen. A voice has been spoken. First of all, let me just say that, thanks be to God, that it would have been the 50th anniversary. Because last summer it was overturned, right? But you also know that there's actually been a huge backlash. And it's actually created a lot of tension in our country right now, right? And I get it. In some ways, I really do. I get it. Because the truth is, our government is not God. Our government is not the light. There is still need today that this light, this voice be spoken over this land. Because it was never about laws. It was always about lives. And that voice needs to penetrate into our life, into that timeline of our land. I want you to consider that voice today, specifically in this way. Think about a woman who's considering abortion right now. What voice is she hearing? It could be for any reason that that woman is seeking an abortion, from this side to that side, whatever the reason is. What's she hearing? Fear, doubt, anger, shame, guilt, despair, and being alone. We just said that those were the voices of the enemy, right? Those are not the voice of God. And so we don't want to listen to those voices, right? That's why, you guys, that's why we always must approach this situation, this crisis pregnancy, this woman, or even someone who's had an abortion before, with the greatest tenderness and the greatest care. Because there is so much fear and voice and things that they're being told in the midst of that, right? But I want you to see that by offering abortion as a solution to that problem, that actually our culture is following the voice of the enemy when we do that. Because that's what that voice is. Then, not only that, well, let's just step aside. Let's take it from the other side then. Okay, what about the other side? Almost every pro-life story I've ever heard, I don't know if you've ever heard someone telling their story of having chosen life for their child. I've heard many of them. And most of them go basically this storyline. That there was a woman, perhaps with the father there, most of the time not, who basically says, I just didn't know I had any other choice. And I was so touched because I encountered this person or entered this clinic and I heard a different voice. I thought that abortion was my only choice, and I found actually support and care for me that gave me the strength and the confidence in order to choose life for my child, even to heal and to walk forward. And now, and they'll hold up their baby or whatever it is, this is the greatest treasure of my life. What's that voice? A voice that gives confidence and strength and encouragement. A voice that even brings forgiveness, which is very difficult in these situations, and healing. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is the voice of God being spoken in that life. When that person walks into a pro-life pregnancy center and they receive a woman and receive her timeline, her life, with that same gaze of Jesus looking over it, with no judgment, but simply coming forward and saying, I will walk with you. We will support you. We will take care of you. What do you need? Think of what that does to that woman's heart. So we have the voices, but we also have lies and the truth being spoken. The voice of the enemy always will speak lies And the voice of God will always speak truth. And so I want you to just think for a moment again about a lot of the rhetoric that we're hearing. Because there's a lot of lies going on out there. This year, especially since the overturning of Roe versus Wade, a big thing being thrown around is the words of forced pregnancy. We should never have forced pregnancy. But we know, everyone knows, the woman's already pregnant. There's already a pregnancy. It's simply a question of what we're going to do with that. I just want to show you that the words are lies. They're not true. And then the big one that we hear and see on the signs is in the march today, the women's march, they're holding the sign, my body, my choice. And I think this is the most serious one because this goes really to just such the heart of femininity and womanhood. Because what's one of the most beautiful, amazing things about the woman's body? That the woman's body is different than a man's. Your body holds life in a way that I never can. That's what motherhood is. That actually it's not your body that's in your womb. It's another life that's there and another body that has been entrusted to you as a woman to care for. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. It's the creation of new life. And this lie goes directly against who you are as woman. So don't believe the lie. Do you know what happens when a woman goes to a pro-life pregnancy center and they do an ultrasound for her? What happens is they speak truth. Because that woman, she sees her child and she hears its heartbeat. And that's why that woman, the majority of times, will choose life for her child. Last fall, our area pastoral council here in our parish and our community outreach group went together to tour the two pro-life pregnancy centers in Mankato. And we were doing this in response to something our bishops, they made a statement last summer, actually, that we need to walk with moms in need. And they made this pledge. They said, we pledge that our Catholic churches in Minnesota will be a sanctuary for women in crisis pregnancies. That any woman in a crisis pregnancy who comes to the door of this church seeking assistance will be supported and at a minimum referred to resources where she can get her help that she needs. And so we went and we toured and just kind of discerned, like, how could we establish this connection and walk this path with these moms in need. And we came up with two things. Number one, we said what a woman in a crisis pregnancy needs more than anything is not a brochure or a resource. What she needs is a person. What she needs is someone standing next to her to listen to her, to support her, to take care of her, to let her make her own decision, but to walk with her on that path. To make the phone calls for her, to take her in our car to that center, and even to give her a place to live if that's what she needs. And we said, we're committed to doing that here in our AFC. We identified certain people on our committee that said, I will do that. Just call me and I will be there and I will be with that woman. I'll walk with her. It's an amazing thing. The second thing we decided was that we want a connection established between us and to really put our actions, to put our works, to put our love where our mouth and our faith are. And to really work to support what these centers are doing for women in need. And so actually tonight after communion, I'm going to invite Deb Blaschko up. She represents Options for Women in Mankato. She's going to take a few minutes just to share a little about this connection, the things they do and how we can help support her. One of the things she's going to share is that they've just hired a second nurse, which is awesome, but it also means there's really that much need. But that second nurse needs to go through the training, especially to do those ultrasounds, which cost between $5,000 and $7,000. And so I asked their director, is that something we could take on as a project here? So our area faith community is committed to matching funds up to $3,000 that's donated over the next month. During the month of February, as we're doing the baby shower, we're just going to run this little campaign also. If you bring in money, put in the collection, bring it to the office, send it in, just put pro-life or options on it, we will match dollar for dollar whatever you bring in over the next month, up to $3,000, which would be $6,000, which is what that training would take, okay? Let me end by just kind of going back. Actually, Jonathan Rumi, who talked at the March for Life on Friday, he plays Jesus in The Chosen, which I'm sure many of you have seen. He made a really awesome comment. He said, "We're all so beautifully flawed." He really was just speaking from that voice, that gaze of Jesus over our life. We're all so beautifully flawed. It's never been about being perfect. The point is that in those flaws, we are so loved by God. Think of the words of the baptism again. The words, the Father's a powerful voice spoken over us. But I want you to think of them tonight specifically in terms of that woman in a crisis pregnancy, or any woman who is pregnant. Of God speaking those words over her and over that child in her womb. "You are my beloved daughter. And you are my beloved son or daughter. And in you, both of you, I am well pleased." Imagine if that could be the voice that was spoken over every life in our land. My brothers and sisters, that would be a light in the darkness. And that would bring healing to our land.